This is Jay Parker. I'm excited to tell you about the inaugural Hot, Holy, and Humorous Marriage Cruise. We'll be sailing from Galveston, Texas, October 14 through 21, and travel through the Western Caribbean. With workshops about intimacy, interactive learning, and plenty of opportunities to engage with your spouse, you'll cultivate healthier and holier sexual intimacy. Visit my website at hotholyhumorous.com to learn more, or click the link in the show notes.
Welcome to Sex Chat for Christian Wives. I'm Chris Taylor of Honeycomb and Spice.
I'm Gay Christmas of Calm, Healthy, Sexy.
I'm Jay Parker of Hot, Holy, and Humorous.
And I'm Bonnie Burns of Strong Wives.
Pull up your chair to our virtual kitchen table and let's chat.
When it comes to sexual interest, we tend to talk about which spouse has the higher or lower drive. Whichever you are, can be helpful to understand where the opposite is coming from. So today, we're going to illuminate what desire is like for the higher drive wife and the lower drive wife, recognizing that this can help us better understand our spouse's perspective. Okay, ladies, let's start by clarifying our terms. When we talk about a higher or lower sex drive, what do we mean? And what other words do we use or maybe even prefer?
I think it's important to remember that these are actually relative terms. So if there's a woman who's interested in sex 3 times a week and her husband's interested in sex 1 time every day, then they're both going to think that she's got a low sex drive. But she could also be a woman who wants sex 3 times a week, who's married to a husband who's interested in sex 2 times a week. And in that case, she would be the higher drive. It's like there's not an absolute meaning to higher or lower. It has to do with how your interest relates to your spouse's level of interest.
So we have talked in the past about spontaneous desire versus responsive desire. And in a way, I like that better, just because I think people might apply, value to higher versus lower, like lower is bad and higher is good, when in actuality, it's not either good or bad. It's just different. And as Chris said, it depends on the relationship. But I do think that some people, and probably more so men, have spontaneous sexual desire. And some people, and maybe more so women, have responsive desire, meaning they don't really get aroused or feel in the mood sort of until they're
halfway
involved through.
Yeah,
involved. So
yes.
Yeah. So that might be another way to think of it.
I love all of those, and I really don't have much to add. So go ahead.
Yeah, but I will say, I think that we've had a bunch of different terms come around, like libido, libido, sexual interest, drive, desire. I think people have their favorites. To me, libido sounds more biological, physiological, whatever. I don't know if that's actually true, but that's just kind of how it rings to me. I used to say drive, and I think that's what a lot of people understand, but I have to say, I'm not sure I really like that idea either, because I don't know, I guess I think about it as drive is like a gear and you're driven and you're just driven to do something. And I don't know that that's how it's felt even by higher desire wives. There's a desire thing, but it's, I don't know. I don't love the word drive as much anymore.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The libido thing, I believe, comes from Sigmund Freud. And I think libido has something to do with a zest for life. So while I like that idea, zest for life, I'm not a big fan of Sigmund Freud. So
I know.
Yeah, we're everything like Freud on this. This podcast.
Everything bad about sex research is his fault.
What are our favorite words? My favorite revolves around sexual interest, because obviously I do have a responsive desire. If I'm nurtured emotionally, I'm more likely to have sexual interest. That's where I land.
You're the first person I ever heard use that term, and I really like it. And so that's what I tend to use. But I also can say that I have at different times in our marriage been both the lower drive spouse and the higher drive spouse, and it has to do with my interest.
See, I tend to use desire more than anything else now. And I think for me too, because I kind of feel like this is sort of it's like the flagship Bible verse for higher desire wives is a Song of Songs 7:10, where it says, I belong to my beloved and his desire is for me. And so I like that the word desire is used in Song of Songs. And so I don't know, but I like sexual interest too. Like I said, I'll use them all in different times, but yeah, desire is my fave. Gay, you got a favorite?
I didn't think I had one, but now hearing this, I probably would come down a little bit on the side of liking interest better.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the desire. I think that's lovely. It's just not my personal experience.
No, I know. And that's why you asked if we had favorites and stuff like that. So I think that's good.
Although I will say, I have at times been the one to say more recently, hey, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm. That's the other thing too, is this is a spectrum. I think one of the other issues with talking about drive is sometimes we attach a drive to someone like it's just part of their identity. You're the higher drive spouse or you're the lower drive spouse. And I think that there's this spectrum of experience even within marriage, and things can change. There can be seasons. And also, you can have something where maybe physically you have a stronger drive, but you have less sexual interest because there are obstacles going on in your relationship. It's a more complicated thing.
Yeah, I mean, so many things can affect it that even if you're the higher interest or desire spouse, typically your health can affect it, the state of your relationship, you know, your work, your stress level, what's going on with your kids. Yeah, so it's not as hard and fast, I think, as people might think.
Well, hopefully we've clarified some of what we even mean by sexual desire, drive, or interest, or that other Freud word.
But not libido.
Let's lose libido.
Anyway, some of our listeners are lower desire wives and some are higher desire wives. Let's start with what higher desire wives know about having greater sexual interest than their spouse. What's that experience like for them?
No clue.
Chris?
Well, you know, at the time in our marriage when I became the higher interest spouse, it was after I had just done this huge turnaround. So I think I had a very different experience as a higher drive wife for a while than I would have if it had been like that all along in our marriage. So I remember being frustrated a lot, but I also knew what was going on with my husband at the time. He had some health issues and was very stressed about some things. So, you know, I was able to understand that, but still I was frustrated. And it was easy to feel lonely and wonder what was wrong with me. Was I too much for him? Was I not enough?
Well, I agree with everything you said, Chris. And I think that if this has been your whole experience of your marriage, I think that there's a real surprise that happens for those women, because the message out there largely is that he's going to want sex more than you do, maybe even all the time. In fact, I actually think sometimes we sell men short, as if they are just these ravenous animals who can't exert self-control and like don't want a relationship. I think they want a relationship. Some guys out there like romance and conversation and other things besides sex. But then you're just thrown off because you think this is going to be great, and he's just not as interested as you are. And so a lot of questions come about: what's wrong with me? What's wrong with him? Feeling cheated.
And this is one of those things where I think it's the same message from both our culture and our church. You know, a lot of times churches will stress how you should be available to your husband or how this is what he wants. And the culture, I mean, look how many sitcoms. There's the wife who's slapping the husband's hands because he's just so gropey and all he thinks about is sex and he's a pervert. I mean, that's a cultural thing and a church thing. And getting that same message from both of those directions, it's like you feel completely alone if that's not what you've ever known is even a possibility, to think something's wrong and it must be something with me, or I don't know. It's really tough if that's all you've known.
Like you, I have been both, and I've actually been equally matched with my husband. I've been the lower desire spouse and I've been the higher desire spouse. But I was plagued with a lot of questions when my interest became higher than his. And it took me a while to realize that he still loved me, still wanted to be with me. it had just shifted. I was just unprepared for it. Like you said, I didn't recognize that that was going to happen until it happened.
What do you hear from the women in your higher desire wife community, Jay? I mean, what kinds of things do they have to say about what it's like to be in that position?
A lot of the things that we've just said, they're physically frustrated. I'll just be honest about that. It can feel physical the longer it goes. And so there's just kind of this antsy sense of things. And so there is that aspect. But more than anything, it's the emotional side of it. And a lot of it is not even the having sex. It is wanting to be desired sexually. And so if they just felt like he wanted it as much as she did, or maybe not as much, but like he wanted it and it was important to him and he prioritized something that mattered to her and he felt close to her in those moments and all those things, even if it didn't happen as often as she'd like, I think that would settle some hearts out there. And then there's a lot of frustration of others not understanding where they're coming from or being dismissed, like just this thing of a lot of lower desire wives maybe taking for granted the desire their husbands have for them, which I tell them all the time, look, that has nothing to do with you, but I'm just, you ask me how they feel. And I'm saying when they're in the company of other wives are like, ugh, my husband is just, he constantly looks at me and he's constantly talking about wanting to have sex and this is that, and they're not having of that. They start comparing and feeling jealousy. And the lower desire wives, I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong. I'm just, again, explaining the emotions of what's going on is when the primary thing talked about is that husbands are wanting more sex than their wives and they're experiencing the complete opposite. They feel like there's something wrong with them. And they want to say to those women,
you don't know how lucky you are.
Yeah. But of course, then I turn around and tell them, you know, maybe they are, maybe they're not lucky. I don't know. There's more to it.
And I'd love to encourage, if this is something that is happening in your church, to start a dialogue. I had a situation years ago where I was the lower drive and there was a higher drive lady in that room with me and she was snarky. But if she had come to me and said, can we talk, you know, and tried to inform me a little more, that would have went a long way, because I'm really open to dialogue about everything. But that snarkiness really put me off.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons we're doing this, is because sometimes I feel like these wives get pitted against each other instead of trying to, you know, a lower desire wife can help me better understand a lower desire husband. Not exactly, but like we could be resources for one another. Anyway, Chris?
I'm wondering, what is the latest that you've seen on statistics about how many marriages have the wife with a higher desire than her husband?
The best statistics that I've seen, and let me just tell you, I've done a ton of research on this, put it between 15 to 25% of marriages.
I just wanted to get that said.
But yeah, it's somewhere between 1 in 4 or 1 in 6 marriages. So if we take the middle part, you get 10 couples in a room, likely one or two of them is going to be, there's going to be a higher desire wife, a lower desire husband.
I just wanted our listeners to know that they're not alone.
And this is what I say too, is it's not the majority situation, but it's by no means uncommon, by no means uncommon.
I have a question. So if a woman has always been, say, the higher desire or interest spouse, or if it's changed and now she is, and that's going on for a while, should she try to investigate why that is? Is that something they should talk about?
Absolutely. I think open communication, no matter what the issue, is extremely important to build that foundation of honesty and openness and gay. I love that you say some conversations have
more than once.
More than once.
Yeah, I think if you take the attitude of we need to figure out what's wrong with you, that's not okay.
I know, because of cultural stereotypes, the lower drive husband can feel shame, can feel that he's weird, can feel that he's alone. And so that is something that a gentle, compassionate conversation that may have to happen a few times to really get to the bottom, or to be able to take him to a doctor, or to come up with solutions. I think that when you are mismatched, working as a team toward finding the root cause is really building of your emotional intimacy and can down the road strengthen your sex life for a myriad different reasons, not just the physical, but because you've connected in finding a solution that you're both happy with.
I do think that anytime there's a change, especially, you know, if it's a noticeable change or very suddenly, we do need to, you know, see doctors and make sure, you know, if a husband loses interest, then make sure that he's healthy and that his, you know, that his heart's healthy, that he doesn't have circulation problems. Depression can have an impact on men and women. Women, sometimes as hormone levels shift for various reasons, there can be some shifts. So I think any change, it's worth talking to the doctor. And sometimes you might find that the wife and husband both have some changes. Like if they're stressed, they might both go further away from each other. It's good to rule out anything medical.
Yeah, I would say that you just need to have these conversations and talk about that. And some of it is trying to figure out the why. And the why could mean a problem or it could mean not a problem, just a difference. So you need to prepare yourself for either and not assume there's a problem. Maybe there is, maybe there's not. There's also sort of just negotiating what this is going to look like and talking about what sex means to each of you. And I will also say, it's not just looking at the lower desire spouse and saying, why is this your level of interest? Sometimes I think we need to ask the higher desire spouse, the wife in this case, where's your interest and what's that about? Is it at a good level? There are hypersexualized individuals, and there also can be a real neediness to that that just needs to calm down a little bit. I don't know how to say that better, but there's both of you. I think we also need to make sure we're not, as Gay said, you know, saying higher is better. And so the lower, we just need to figure out how to get the lower person up to the higher. Well, no, we need to figure out how to get sexual intimacy that is mutually desired and satisfying in your marriage.
And I will just say, if the higher desire is being fueled artificially, that's a problem.
Yeah, agree. So most of the time, or majority of the time, the higher and lower desire are just about differences that could have an underlying cause, or maybe don't. But sometimes there is an issue there that needs to be addressed. Sometimes that is a signal to dig deeper and see what's going on.
And I want to say, too, that sometimes, and I think this probably happens for both men and women, that there can be a decreased expression of interest in sex because they feel guilty or ashamed about how often they want sex. And so they try to minimize that. And I have heard of that from men and women that, you know, I shouldn't want sex this much, or I shouldn't be thinking about it all this way, all the time like this. And therefore, I need to dampen my desire and how much I ask for it. And then you're adding shame into something that God gave us to draw us closer to each other. We don't need more shame, not when it's about God stuff.
That's a great point. We're going to stop right here and have a word from our sponsor.
We would like to thank Share the Soap for sponsoring this episode. Share the Soap offers goat milk with essential oils to help you relieve stress and revive and refresh naturally. You can find essentials for self-care, mental health days, and happy skin. At least 10% of their proceeds are donated both locally and globally. Share the Soap is family-owned and operated in Illinois. And I want to personally vouch for the owner of Share the Soap. Early in our marriage, when we just had our children, my husband and I went to the same church as Tori, the owner, and her husband, and we were in the same small group. We were in Sunday school class together. I personally appreciate your support of Share the Soap, since she and I go back such a long way. Until February 28th, 2023, you can buy a date night set and get a bonus mini lip balm and bonus mini personal size soap using the coupon code and link you can find in our show notes. Jay Parker says the lip balm is the best lip balm she's ever used. Share the Soap, thank you for your support.
All right, we're back, and now we turn to the lower desire spouse. What's it like for wives who have less interest in sex? Who wants to go on this one?
I'll go.
All right, Bonnie.
So what's it like? So feelings around being the lower desire. Chris mentioned earlier about either being too much or not enough. For me, there was a constant feeling of not being enough. that I wrangled everything around the house while he was gone on business. Yes. Okay. You're going to hear a tinge of resentment in my voice. Sorry that I did all this. I kept our household going, and yet he was never satisfied with the amount of sexual intimacy we had. That made me feel like I was not enough and that there was nothing I could do to really meet that need. Well, now, of course, fast forward, his drive was, again, artificially fueled by pornography. But I felt not enough. I felt depressed. I felt disconnected from him emotionally because all he wanted was the sexual intimacy. The emotional intimacy wasn't there. And that is why sexual interest and nurturing that emotional connection is so important to me. But just a general feeling of pressure and being disregarded for who I was outside of my body.
Yeah, I always think of this. I made up a word, not enoughness. And I remember that was how I felt like I had a constant case of not enoughness. And there were times where I thought, no matter what I do, then he's going to want something more. So if I say, fine, we'll have sex X number of times a month or a week, then I'll do that for a few times and then he'll want more. Or if I do this one thing, then what's he going to want next? I mean, so there was a lot that was about not feeling valued, but there was also some, I don't know that I would say fear, but a little anxiousness about, and then what next?
Yeah, I think I'm typically the lower interest spouse in my marriage. And I think, you know, it was more internal, like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I have more energy? Why can't I, you know, why does all the activities of daily life just wear me out so much so I don't feel like I have any energy left for it? More that kind of thing. And for a long time, I mean, I was married for a long time and never heard of spontaneous or responsive desire. And I remember thinking, well, why can't I just be in the mood the moment we fall in bed like my husband is? You know, so then you think there's something wrong with you. And then to find out there's not is really relieving, you know. So it's not like there's something wrong with my desire. It's just a different kind. And then once you know that, you can sort of work with it. But I think probably even though I don't feel like my husband did anything to contribute to me thinking this, I often felt like, what is wrong with me?
I gotta say that when I was the lower desire spouse, it was because I was overwhelmed with young children and I had undiagnosed postpartum depression. I had nothing left. Yeah, I had nothing left. If only I could go back I say that. If only I could go back and do things differently, but I don't want to go back and do it over again, actually. Yeah. So we'll just let that lie. But I remember being very resentful of my husband, too. Just feeling like there was pressure and that why couldn't he understand why I didn't want this right now? And he just needed to leave me alone. And, you know, I fully admit I did not handle it well at all. But again, a lot of it was I didn't know. I didn't know what to expect. And I didn't know what to do when this hit. And I really think I kind of abandoned him and he felt lonely. But I felt lonely in my own way, too.
Yeah, I over time realized that both my husband and I felt loneliness from disconnection. Just he experienced that disconnection more physically and I experienced it more emotionally.
You know, in our marriage now, we are more equally matched and I don't feel pressure anymore. He is in fantastic recovery. Of course, we take each day as it comes with humility and grace, but I will say that those years when I was, so I took the blame for our bedroom problems too. That was another part of the complicated mess of our marriage was that I took the blame that our bedroom problems were my fault because I was the lower drive. So it was from that motivated me to figure out a lot about sex. And that's when I started with my research. I've talked about this elsewhere too, but that spark is what helped me, as Gay says, find that sex is for me too. Mm-hmm. So I reached a point where I was still the lower drive, but I had done all my work. I was happy with how I was showing up in the bedroom. And it came to a point where his higher drive, I had to say, you've got to figure that out because we are meeting in the bedroom a fair number of times per week. So the rest is for you to kind of unpack and figure out what's going on.
Good point.
And actually, I think a lot of times resources that address sex in the Christian world have taken more of an attitude of let's figure out how to get the lower desire wife to either want sex more, but more often to just have sex more. And this is something that I've heard more than once that I have gone and spoken to women's groups. In fact, I was at another Mothers of Preschoolers group the other day. And usually there's someone who says to me afterwards, I really thought that they were going to have another person come in and basically say, you need to have some more sex with your husband. And I'm like, that's not what I'm here to say. I'm here to talk about how to have mutually satisfying sex. And there may be some things that you need to do, but there may be some things he needs to do. And this is a relationship and it's supposed to be for both of you. And if you don't feel like it's for you, then we need to revisit this topic. And I actually think a lot of desire gaps would just shrink. I'm not saying the husband and wife would meet, but it would shrink somewhat if we just had a better view of what sexual drive desire means and doesn't mean and how to be kind to each other about it.
Sex is such an area of vulnerability for all of us. And I think for both lower and higher interest spouses, a lot of times we respond to the other out of our own hurt or out of that vulnerability rather than just being able to show up and listen and learn from the other person. There's an enemy that knows just where to get us, and sex is where he shows up a lot.
And I think it's also like Bonnie has talked about, what's your goal? Is your goal sex or is your goal intimacy? Sex is one way to strengthen intimacy, but it's not the only way.
And we probably should acknowledge, we kind of touched on this talking about when the husband is lower drive, but there are issues that can cause lower desire that really have to be addressed, like trauma issues, medical issues, depression, certain medications. I mean, there are things that could be going on with a person now or that happened in the past that will greatly reduce their desire, and they may not even be aware of the impact that's having. So I think if somebody is really struggling and feeling that they're low desire, it would be helpful to think about some of those things. And are there, you know, counseling or medical solutions that you might need to pursue?
Absolutely. That could have spared us some heartache if I had known that I was dealing with depression and gotten help for it. That brings us, I think, to the last question we've got, which is getting practical. What does each side, higher and lower, wish the opposite side better understood or did differently? How would that help sexual intimacy or the marriage overall? We've discussed this somewhat, but I think we can add some more thoughts here.
For a higher desire spouse, I think it just feels so personal. And when I was lower desire than my husband, I didn't understand just how personal that felt to him. But I also think that for him, he didn't understand that it wasn't personal for me. It wasn't about him. It was about what I thought my sexual desire was supposed to be like Gay was talking about. And I just think that understanding that it's both personal, it can be very personal, but it might also not be so personal, depending on where you're standing, just a different point of view.
I think maybe for lower desire wives, especially when you're in the situation like Jay described with, you know, young children, and Bonnie said about, you know, managing a whole household of young boys. And I think it might be helpful for the higher desire spouse to understand that, you know, stress and busyness and, you know, lots of time pressures can really often affect desire for a lower desire spouse. You know, if you're sort of have a baseline lower desire and then you have a lot of things piled on top of you and don't have much time, you know, for a break or for the two of you to connect, that can really affect. So I think it can help for the higher desire person to be aware of that.
I think that the higher desire wife needs to do more inviting a lot of times to issue an invitation and be available rather than initiate and pressure. That can actually shut down sexual interest when someone feels pressured. And a lot of times when you're the higher desire spouse, you're initiating in a way that you would like to see, and you don't realize it's coming across as pressure to the person. So kind of rethink how you're doing that. And on the other side, I would say that from the lower desire spouse, it's very helpful if you need to turn down some time to give a rain check, to suggest a better time, because that kind of calms the other person's heart of, okay, they do want me and they do want to be there and I know it's coming. I don't have to be on pins and needles on whether it's going to happen and when. So just knowing it's coming up. And actually, may I just say, scheduling can be a good way to, oh, to address scheduling. That. So mark your bingo card. I got to it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything that said. The pressure that can come from the higher drive really is a fire extinguisher, I will say. Mm-hmm. What is an amplifier is playfulness. And finding that time to connect in a fun way, and then that will overflow into the bedroom, whether you're low drive or high drive. Playfulness helps both. So if you can find a light heart. And before we go, you know, Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and we would love for you to look at our webinars. Our webinars can help you figure out how to have a better orgasm. Our webinars can help you figure out how to have more sexual interest. And for you gentlemen, you husbands, there's a webinar just for you to help you understand her sexual interest. And I know there's more and I'm forgetting them, but go over and peruse our webinars and maybe it's a Valentine's present you give to your spouse or yourself.
Also, you could take a look back at our Christmas episode if you're looking for gift ideas. There's a lot of gift ideas there that would still work really well for Valentine's. And finally, I do want to mention that it was just a little over 6 years ago that we started this podcast. My goodness. We look just the same as when we began.
I don't.
Not worn out at all by life. Nope, not a bit.
No, my hair went from black to blonde.
Well, I've had like 6 residences between now and then, although like they were pretty much all last year.
And we've had several weddings in our family since then.
Babies born.
Yeah.
Grandbabies.
I have my first one is incubating right now.
We have been here for a while and we still have a lot of good content you can listen to. Go back and listen. And we've got more coming. So stay tuned and make sure you're subscribed to our podcast. And we appreciate all of you who have left reviews or will do so soon. Mm-hmm. And just thanks for being listeners.
Bye. Thank you.